Good morning. Did you spend some time thinking about what you're thankful for this week? Yeah, we have a little tradition in our family. We go through the alphabet and, you know, say what we're thankful for. I know it's kind of corny, but it's always hard to get when we get to X. You know, we're thankful for xylophones or X-ray machines or something like that. They all enhance our lives, I guess. But today we're going to have a little different service. It's a Thanksgiving service, and I really want us to think about being thankful for all that God has done for us. We couldn't sit and list it all out. It's impossible because He is such a great God, and He's so great great to us. And one of the greatest things we're thankful for is just His wonderful name. So as we prepare our hearts for worship, we're going to sing His name is wonderful in just a moment. But I want you to just spend a few moments preparing, thinking about being thankful, thanking God for His wonderful, the wonderful name of Jesus. Sing that with me.
His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty King, Master of everything. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. He's the great shepherd, the rock of all ages. Almighty God is He. Bow down before Him. Love and adore Him. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
Amen. Amen. His name is wonderful, and I hope your thoughts are filled with how great our God is today. I mentioned that we are doing a little bit of a different service today because I want us to kind of spend some time thinking about who God is and how thankful we are for what He has done for us, how He has blessed our lives, how He has given so much for us. As we have the kids in here today and all of us together, we've just celebrated Thanksgiving. And Thanksgiving in and of itself is a holiday that many people recognize and think of, and just giving thanks in general. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. But we know that giving thanks means we're giving thanks unto God. And we're hopefully going to have that gratitude that guides our thoughts and our prayers as we think about who God is. So I want to ask you a few things just for you to think about this morning. Direct our thoughts toward God. That's what we're going to do today. And worshiping the Lord is just being thankful unto Him. So as you meditate and think through this, I want to read an article from a Christian author. And I want you to think of, and just silently, right in your pew, right where you are, as you prepare for worship, I want you to think about gratitude. Is your heart characterized by gratitude when you think about God? Thankfulness is a good test of your faith. Its absence demonstrates that your faith is more lip service than experiential knowledge. Your days, whether easy or difficult, should be filled with thanksgiving because while life changes drastically, our God remains the same forever. He is constant and constantly good, loving and faithful. As we think about God today, And we begin to just start being grateful for all that he's given us. I want you to just close your eyes right where you are. I'm going to read Psalm 100, verses 4 through 5. This is a call to worship. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name. For the Lord is good, his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. As we think about the Lord today, as we think about entering into his presence, as you think about coming in to worship him, as you enter into this sanctuary, I hope that your thoughts are always filled with a sense of gratitude to the loving, good God who has saved us, who has sent his Son for us. We have so much reason to worship and praise our God, to thank him. This service is going to continue on. A lot of people are going to be participating and coming up and reading and sharing some different thoughts from different Christian authors and different things for us to read and sing together. So I want this time to be a time for you to put your focus on God today, not on anything else, just on what God has done for you, so that you might worship him for his goodness, his loving kindness. It never changes.
Good morning. I would like to read to you a Thanksgiving prayer that was wrote by Mrs. Helen Steiner Rice. Thank you, God, for everything, the big things and the small. For every good gift comes from God, the giver of them all. And all too often we accept, without any thanks or praise, the gifts you send as blessings each day in so many ways. And so, at this Thanksgiving time, we offer up a prayer to thank you, God, for giving us a lot more than our share. First, thank you for the little things that often come our way, the things we take for granted and don't mention when we pray. The unexpected courtesy, the thoughtful, kindly deed, a hand reached out to help us in the time of sudden need. Oh, make us more aware, dear God, of little daily graces that come to us with sweet surprises from never dreamed of places. Then thank you for the miracles we are much too blind to see, and give us new awareness of our many gifts from thee. And help us to remember that the key to life and living is to make each prayer a prayer of thanks and every day thanksgiving.
First Corinthians 4:7, for who sees anything different in you? What do you have that you did not receive? If then you received it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it?
And then Joe Rigney says, gratitude is the proper response to an abundance of gifts. Gratitude is the posture of the soul that most readily increases receptivity. Gratitude demands humility, since only those who acknowledge their dependence, their need, and their delight in the goodness and kindness of another can be grateful. Give thanks always and for everything, and be specific.
We're going to sing together a song called My Tribute. You may know it better as To God Be the Glory, but the first few words of this song says, how can I say thanks for the things you have done for me. So let's stand together as we thank God for all that he has done.
How can I say thanks for the things you have done for me? Things so undeserved, yet you give to prove your love for me. The voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude. All that I am and ever hope to be, I owe it all to thee. To God be the glory, to God be the glory, to God be the glory for the things he has done. With his blood he has saved me. With his power he has raised me. To God be the glory for the things he has done. Just let me live my life. Let it be pleasing, Lord, to thee. And should I gain any praise, let it go to Calvary. With his blood he has saved me. With his power he has raised me. To God be the glory for the things he has done.
Amen. We remain standing for our responsive reading this morning.
I would ask you to draw your attention to the words and see the great God we serve as we share this together. God, today we are thankful for most of all for you. Without you, we cannot even breathe. You provide rhythm to our hearts and lives. You are our protector, our guide, our strength, our creator, and our redeemer. We are thankful for your very presence here. We give thanks. All of you join me. We give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks for your name is near. God, you created this wonderful earth and the entire galaxy that surrounds it. You are the provider and the sustainer of all life, for all time and in all continents.
All your heart,
I will tell of all your words. Ladies, all the earth, they sing praise to you. They sing praise to your name. We are thankful for our nation. We are thankful for our liberties, for our freedoms, and especially the ability to worship you as guided by your word without being hindered by our government or other adversaries. Altogether, may the nations be glad. Join me all together. May all the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the people justly and guide the nations of the earth. Let the light of your face shine upon us, O Lord. We're thankful for our local church. Keep us true and steadfast to your word. Join me, everyone. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. We are thankful for all who serve in our church, our elders, your secretary, the council, the deacons, the Sunday school teachers, the ushers, those who clean and maintain the property, those who provide music for our worship services, those who pray, those who need our prayers, and all those who attend this church. altogether. I will extol the Lord with all my heart. The counsel of the upright in the... We are thankful for each other, for our families, and for our homes altogether. Our Lord, my God, I will give you thanks forever. We are thankful for the many blessings that you provide for us. Food, shelter, clothing, employment, health, and education. Men, I will lay down and sleep in peace. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Ladies, the Lord
is my shepherd. I shall lack nothing.
All of us together. I will give thanks to the Lord because of his righteousness and will give sing to the name of the Lord Most High. Thank you. You may be seated.
Seated at your table.
Jesus, thank you.
It's a very short passage of scripture, but I want you to think about these words in Psalm 126 and verse 3. It says, "The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad." Amen.
Thanking God together is an effective guard against ingratitude. On our own, we may be tempted to forget, to take for granted, and to ignore the God from whom every good and perfect gift comes. On our own, we may fall into the ways of the ungodly who do not honor him as God or give thanks to him. Together, though, surrounded by the thanks of others, we join in and are thankful.
Let's pray together. Lord, as we come today to a day focused on Thanksgiving, we first want to thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for meeting our needs every day for food and shelter and clothing. For many, many extras you provide that are so often taken for granted. Thank you for family and friends who make life complete. Thank you that even when we are miles apart, we are bound by the cords of your love. Thank you that we live in a country where we are free to worship you and to read your word. And most of all, I thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. When I turned to him, he flooded the darkness of my soul with light of your love. Thank you that he not only died for my sins, but he is alive today at your side, hearing my prayers and preparing a home for me and for every one of us who have accepted Christ as our Savior. Thank you for all that you have given me as a Christian, the Holy Spirit, who is your presence in my life, the Bible is my light to my pathway, and Christian friends who encourage and help me. Thank you that I can face tomorrow with hope because Jesus is living for me. Oh, Lord, how truly rich I am. Thank you for all you mean to me. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Amen. Let's stand together as we sing a song of praise. Praise him, praise him. Jesus, our blessed Redeemer.
Praise him, praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, his wonderful love proclaim. Hail him, highest archangels in glory. Strength and honor give to his holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard his children. In his arms he carries them all day long. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song. Praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. For our sins he suffered and bled and died. He, our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Hail him, Jesus the crucified. Sound his praises, Jesus who bore our sorrows. Love unbounded, wonderful, deep, and strong. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song. Praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly portals loud with hosannas ring. Jesus, Savior, reigneth forever and ever. Crown him, prophet and priest and king. Christ is coming over the world victorious. Power and glory unto the Lord belong. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song.
Amen. May be seated.
I'm reading from Colossians 1, 12 through 14. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This is an article that was taken from a writing by Sam Storms. One reason we don't give thanks with joy is that we know so little of the profound spiritual blessings that God has provided for us in Jesus. In Colossians 12 through 14, Paul cited three stunning gifts from God, all ours because of what Jesus has accomplished on our behalf. Meditate upon them and rejoice with thanksgiving.
As we think about what Christ did, you heard the gospel in Danita's song, the wrath of God was satisfied, right? Just amazing line to remind us of why we all who are called by the name of Christ have a reason to be thankful and grateful in our hearts for what God has done for us. Every morning, as we've talked about all the way through Galatians, we should start our day in the context of the gospel, just reminding ourselves of what he did for us in paying the wrath of the Father off, that we might be free, that we might have eternal life. And that will set us on a day filled with gratitude and thanksgiving. As I was listening to one of my podcasts this week, they were talking about thanksgiving as a way of an apologetic. Now, an apologetic just simply means the defense of the gospel. And as you think about thanksgiving, it really does lend itself to be a great apologetic, because everybody talks about Thanksgiving, whether they're talking about the food or the bowl games or whatever they're talking about, but they also think about, at least for a moment, something to be thankful for, something to be grateful for. And there's a reason for that. God made us with an innate human nature of thankfulness, a desire to give thanks. It's an apologetic because as we talk to people about Thanksgiving, we can at least have them think about and ponder and meditate upon one question that might get them to thinking about the existence of God. And then if there is a God, wouldn't he reveal himself? And if he has revealed himself, wouldn't we have that for ourselves to understand? And we begin to chase after that understanding in that way. So the apologetic of thanksgiving, simply, as I mentioned, points to the innate knowledge within our human nature that there is one to whom we are responsible to. There is one to whom we should give thanks because he has given us all things, a creator. There is no worldview opposite of the biblical worldview that can finish out. It's as you ponder out, as you think out and follow its philosophy all the way through. Darwinism, evolution, what is there to be thankful for? who is there to be thankful to? Yet, in the idea and understanding that there was a creator who made us, that he has given us life, well, right there, you have reason to be thankful. So it is an innate part of human nature to want to give thanks to the one responsible, to want to offer up thanks, and we can at least talk to people and help them understand that there is someone worthy of our thanksgiving. Let's pray together. Father, we come into your presence acknowledging that you are the one worthy of our praise, our thanksgiving. You are our creator, our omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God. You are our Heavenly Father, loving, steadfast love, goodness never ending. Father, you have given us the greatest gift in all the world, and that's redemption from our rebellion, from our sins, from the debt that we owed you for our rebellion against you, our transgressions that were so many. Father, you couldn't look over those. In your holiness, they must be dealt with. And yet, in your love and mercy, you dealt with them through pouring out your wrath on your Son in our stead. So we come echoing the songs that we've been singing, praising you, God, for your gift of salvation that you've extended to us through Jesus Christ. We come in the name of Christ. Amen. As you think about Thanksgiving, Thanksgiving is offering up thanks. And as you think about that, really, it is a prayer. It's natural that Thanksgiving is just another part of prayer, another section of prayer. As you've been studying through, and Brother Jimmy shared with the men's breakfast the other day, as you think about the first aspect of prayer, it's that praise and thanksgiving section and aspect that we need to come to God with in the very beginning of our prayers, just offering up praise and thanksgiving to Him. Maybe you found it hard sometimes in the depths of your misery or whatever is going on in your life, and some of you are sitting here today having dealt with or are still dealing with circumstances that you would definitely not choose for yourself, circumstances that are hard, disturbing, tough. Even in the midst of those things that you're going through, if you're having trouble with Thanksgiving, the good thing about Thanksgiving and prayer is it acts kind of like a flywheel. Once it gets started, once you begin thanking God and thinking about what He's done for you and redeeming you by sending His Son, then that flywheel just kind of takes over the momentum, and you can't help but continue to give thanks and praise to the God who has made all things possible. As you begin contemplating and meditating on the Word of God, that it may dwell in you richly, you can't help but be thankful unto God for all He's done for you. Just starting your prayer time in thanksgiving, thinking about your salvation, you will contemplate His work of redemption, and that will set your life in the context of the gospel, and you will find in that joy and contentment. I just want to speak to you a little bit further about contentment and this idea of thanksgiving and contentment, because I think they go hand in hand together. As I've been thinking about Thanksgiving this week and just really thinking about something to share about the nature of Thanksgiving, it really is tied to contentment. Now, I'm not talking about contentment like I have when I'm sitting in my hammock on a nice, crisp fall day with the Florida sun shining down, just kind of an embrace of the cold and the warmth and a good theological book in my hands. That's a very nice place to be. That's my happy place, right? We all have those happy places. We all have those places that we say we find contentment in. But true contentment is much, much more than just a feeling of happiness. Just a feeling, because feelings come and they go. Circumstances change and they cause our feelings to change as well. But true contentment, which is linked to thanksgiving, is something so much more. The contented heart is the heart that is satisfied with the giver. Completely satisfied with the giver. As we've been thinking and walking our way through the book of Galatians, Paul has continually put before us that Jesus is enough. We can find all satisfaction in Jesus and in Him alone. There's nothing else that we need to find satisfaction in. There's nothing else that we can find satisfaction in. Paul wrote that letter with that intention, but he also wrote in another section when he was writing the Philippian church, something that I want us to think about, because even in our circumstances, whether difficult or easy, contentment in Christ led Paul to be thankful. Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verses 6 and 7, then we're going to skip down to verse 11 through 13. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Thinking about that idea of anxiousness, there's an opposite to that. There's a contrast to anxiousness. Anxiousness is here, contentment is here. True contentment in Christ is the opposite of anxiousness. It's the opposite, the contrast of the worry that comes. And you can illustrate that in a lot of different ways. You think about the person who's preparing the Thanksgiving meal. They're very anxious, right? They're very anxious about getting everything done, worried about getting everything timed just right, everybody coming, all the dishes coming together. There's very anxiousness there. The opposite of that is the one sitting in the other room watching the football game, waiting on the meal. They're very content. They're very satisfied. And as the meal comes, they will be even more satisfied. That's just a silly thought about the opposite. But the truth is what Paul is saying, be anxious about nothing. We should, as followers of Christ, have nothing that worries us or concerns us because we find true contentment in Christ. Therefore, in everything, we may go to the Lord in prayer and offer up thanksgiving. And when we do that, what does this passage say that we receive back? Peace that surpasses all understanding. Are you getting a picture of what contentment, true contentment is? True biblical contentment. Resting and abiding in that relationship with Christ that He made possible by redeeming us gives us true contentment, accompanied by a peace that surpasses understanding and thanksgiving. Paul went on to write the Philippians in verses 11 through 14, kind of fleshing out this idea as he had given away his anxiousness and rested in the contentment of Christ. This in verses 11 through 13. "Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me." Paul had that sense of contentment, and I hope and pray that we find that same contentment today. Satisfaction in Christ and no other. There is no other source for our satisfaction. If we're not finding our satisfaction in Christ, then we're trying to substitute something that was created for Christ. And that's called sin, idolatry. Anything that we try to substitute for finding peace and contentment in Christ is sin. So even that happy place that I spoke of earlier, if I try to substitute that in my life for finding satisfaction in Christ, that becomes sin. So even the good things that seemingly are good in this life that we enjoy, like a Thanksgiving meal with family, like other things, if we find contentment in that in opposition to finding our true contentment in Christ, we're substituting something that falls far short of Christ. At that point, we become the God and center of our own life. We become the one who the whole world is orienting itself around. And if satisfaction and contentment is bound up in me being happy, then the whole world exists to make that happen. Do you see how that could be a problem? Do you see how that could cause contention and envy and sin between us and other people? As we think about giving thanks to God and thinking about contentment, true contentment finding satisfaction in Christ is not going to manipulate relationships to make them feel happy, satisfied. is not going to try to substitute something for Christ. There is nothing in creation that can satisfy our heart's desire. Paul David Tripp said it this way, "Creation was never designed to satisfy your heart. Creation was made to be one big finger pointing you to the one who alone has the ability to satisfy your heart." John Calvin said that creation is the theater of God's glory. Everything pointing to the one who gives us life. Psalmist wrote in Psalm 73, 25 and 26, "Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." Like Paul, the psalmist had learned the secret to contentment. When you're satisfied in the Redeemer, then you found him the giver of life, the giver of all things. You've been freed from your quest of satisfaction because it has been fulfilled. You will be truly thankful to him for all things that he sends your way. This fits with what we've studied through Galatians because the overarching idea is that Jesus is enough. Paul continued to say it this way, and I'll read this passage of scripture, Ephesians chapter 5, 15 through 21. "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what is the will of the Lord. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your hearts, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence to Christ." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you again for being enough. That there is nothing else in all creation that can bring satisfaction to our hearts. Just as we have an innate part of being human that desires to give thanks, that desires to cry out and give thanks to the one responsible, we also have that innate desire to be satisfied, something deep within us. We often think of it and talk about it as a void, a hole, a puzzle piece in our heart that can only be filled by you. And Father, as we think of that, we know it's true. You created us for a relationship with you. When we rebelled against that, you made it possible that we could still have that relationship with you in Christ Jesus, your Son. It's in his name that we come to you with all thanksgiving today. It's in his name that we come to you to ask for contentment. That Father, no matter what we face this Christmas season, no matter what we're facing already, we will find contentment not in anything else in creation, but in Christ alone. So it's in his name we come praying for your glory.
Acts 2, 41 through 47. "So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all, as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved."
The early Christian church was a rejoicing, praising church that is filled with thanksgiving, magnifying the grace and glory of God. They were a thankful people. But why was this? What is a Christian? Well, Christians are men and women who know that they are what they are by the grace of God. Their sins are forgiven. Why? Christians know that they owe everything to the grace of God in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They have received it all as a free gift. Now, if you can believe a thing like that and not feel grateful and thankful, then I do not understand you. It is impossible.
This song is it's called Psalm 100. It's just singing the psalm. It's easy to catch on to, but I just want you to think about these words. And there's a part in here where it just repeats, "I thank you, Lord." And as we get to that part, I just want you to think about how God has blessed so greatly each of us, and just thank Him through that part. Let's stand together as we sing Psalm 100.
I will shout the joy to you, I will worship you with gladness, I will come before you with joyful song. I will know that you are God, I am yours and you have made me, I am your sheep, and in your pasture I will roam. And as I enter your gates with thanksgiving, and as I enter your courts with praise, I thank you and praise your name. You alone are good. Your mercy is everlasting. Your truth endures through all generations. For you alone are good. Your mercy is everlasting. Your truth endures through all generations. I will shout for joy to you, I will worship you with gladness, I will come before you with joyful song. I will know that you are God, I am yours and you have made me, I am your sheep, and in your pasture I will go. And as I enter your gates with thanksgiving, and as I enter your courts with praise, I thank you and praise your name. You alone are good. Your mercy is everlasting. Truth endures through all generations. You alone are good. Your mercy is everlasting. Truth endures through all generations. As I enter your gates with thanksgiving, and as I enter your courts with praise, I thank you and praise your name. You alone are good. Mercy is everlasting. Truth endures through all generations. You alone are good. Mercy is everlasting, truth endures through all generations.
Thank you.
I thank you, Lord. 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 You alone are good. Your mercy is everlasting. Truth endures through all generations. You alone are good. Your mercy is everlasting. to be yours through all generations.
As we get ready for our last song and we depart, you get out a little early today because we want you to get back here by 3:45 to help with the film distribution. But I hope that your focus, your thoughts have been zeroed in on God this morning. That was our desire for the worship experience, to put your focus on God, to give Him thanks for what He's done for you. And if you're in here today and you've been hearing these words of thanksgiving, you've resonated with that idea of, well, who am I giving thanks to when I say thanksgiving, or when I say grace or blessings after a meal or before a meal, and you don't know Him. If you're here today and you haven't begun a relationship with the God who created you, a relationship where you can say, thank you, Lord, for the salvation that you brought me through Jesus Christ, your Son. And I would love to be able to share with you today how you can come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior, so you can genuinely find the contentment that brings a peace that surpasses all understanding through every up and down of life. I'll be down here after the service. I would love to talk with you. There's other ministers here as well. And you can just come down to the front. We'll just have a conversation as long as we need to, so that you might know who Jesus is. So come on down after we get done with this song. We're going to sing the doxology together as we go our ways, and don't forget to come out back this afternoon at 3:45.
No better way to end a service about Thanksgiving than singing the doxology. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.